Hi everyone, thank you for taking the time to listen to my podcast. When I started this podcast channel months ago, my intent was to keep it focused to weather, and that will still be my intent. But right now, weather is not at the forefront of my mind. Like many of you, I'm concerned about the pandemic, about COVID-19. Like many of you, the situation has me anxious, and yes, I'll admit, a little scared. You watch the news every day, and the number of people contracting the disease all over the world is almost inconceivable. The numbers of cases and deaths keep rising day after day, despite numerous measures to slow the spread being put into place. And that offers very little comfort in a day and age where we are used to getting things instantly. And this is not a problem we are going to fix instantly. This is going to take weeks and possibly months to get under control from what our health experts are telling us. And this brings me to my next question. What can we or what can you do to prevent the spread of this disease? What can you do to prevent yourself and your family from getting this disease? Well, we need to do what our chief medical officer and what our government officials and health experts are telling us. Social distancing works. Washing your hands, it works. And don't touch your face. Let me repeat that last one. Don't touch your face, especially when you're out in public, and especially if you don't know that your hands have been cleaned recently. And I'm sure many of you are wondering if this stuff works and how it works. The answer is yes, it does. And the guest on my podcast today, Gary Smythe, can attest to this. You may recognize Gary's name from the lovely stories he's done for MTV over the years. But what you may not know is Gary was a videographer for the World Health Organization. And for many years, he covered many outbreaks, such as Ebola and SARS and H1N1. That was the last pandemic that was going around the world in 2009. And what did Gary do to stay safe during those times? He did what health experts told him, and he never got sick. Here's our conversation. Gary, welcome, and how are you today?
Hi, Eddie. Thanks for having me on. I'm good today. I'm stuck at home like everybody else on this miserable rainy day, trying to get through this thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the rain might be helping things a bit to, you know, keep people inside, keep people away from other people, which is a good thing. Yeah. But tell me about your resume. Tell me about, your history with work and whatnot.
Well, I started off in television when I was at MUN. I worked at the Educational Television Channel. And after I graduated, I worked at the Avalon Cablevision, which is now Rogers. And a few years after that, I moved to Europe. I was supposed to be gone for a year, but it ended up being 20 years. And a friend of mine worked at the World Health Organization, and he knew I was doing films. And he said, I have a small project for you. And that turned into, working for WHO for a couple of decades.
That's fantastic. And I'm sure that when you were with the World Health Organization, you must have seen many different things from many different countries that a lot of us will likely never see in our lifetimes when it comes to infectious disease. Like, what kind of things were you doing with the World Health Organization?
Well, I worked in a department that had a group called GORN, Global Outbreak Alert and Response. And so the people there were doctors and epi people and logisticians. And every time there would be an outbreak of something, like, for instance, Ebola, they would head to that outbreak, contain it, make the hospital safe, and bring the output to an end. And when you would get to an outbreak like that, it wouldn't be just WHO. It would be other organizations. CDC Atlanta, for instance, were always there. Doctors Without Borders were there. Also, our Canadian lab out in Winnipeg have a very good reputation. They were always there at these outbreaks too. And so I would document for different reasons. Some of the films I made were for showing doctors going to the field for the first time, what they would be facing when they get to the field, like what the hospitals were like, how far apart the beds were, what type of equipment, you know, the setup of the towns and villages that were in. So they just know by the time they got on the ground what they were dealing with. But especially with Ebola, I was also providing B-roll for other TV stations like CNN and other stations always wanted to go to the wards, but they weren't allowed because it was too dangerous. So I would take my footage and make copies for them.
And speaking of being too dangerous, I mean, you are putting yourself into a position where you could be exposed to Ebola. And when we compare Ebola to something like SARS or MERS or COVID-19, it's got a far, far more significant mortality rate, and it's a different
Oh,
virus
yes.
entirely. So, I mean, what was it like being so close to a virus that is so deadly?
It was a bit strange. You know, it takes a bit of getting used to. But before I went to any of these outbreaks, I was taught at the headquarters in Geneva how to put this gear on, what types of, like, each disease has a different protocol. Sometimes you wear two pairs of gloves, sometimes you have to wear goggles and a visor, sometimes you only have to wear a goggle, sometimes you only have to wear a visor. So I was taught how to put the equipment on, how much of it, and more importantly, how to take it off. Because if you did happen to come in contact with the virus when you were on a ward, it was very important that when you were taking your gear off, that you didn't infect yourself with anything that was on the outside of your clothing. That was the most important part, learning how to take it off. But see, that's called barrier nursing. And that does protect you from a virus. So if you follow the steps of putting the stuff on and taking it off, and when you're in the ward, you don't touch anything you shouldn't be touching, you're not going to get sick. And I follow those rules, you know, to a T. And all the Ebola outbreaks, the SARS, the avian flu, the H1N1, I was at all of that. And I never got sick once.
Right. And so you were, in these areas where you had a lot of these newer infectious diseases that were known about. And what you're saying is you followed the strict directions from the World Health Organization and from those who taught you how to stay safe. And you never contracted any one of these number of viruses that you were around.
No. And even outside the hospitals, you know, in these villages or some of the bigger cities, like for SARS, I went to Singapore, Hong Kong, and Beijing. And I was filming also on the streets just to show what kind of traffic flow of people and cars was going on. And I'd be out in the street, and there'd be a lot of people around. It wasn't like all deserted streets. But, you know, I knew that I wasn't supposed to stop and have conversations with people, keep my distance. Every time you'd go into a mall or a shopping center, they would take your temperature before they let you in. And if you had a temperature, you'd go off to a different line where they'd do further screening of you. And I never had the feeling that I was in danger because I knew basically if I kept myself away from other people, I wasn't going to catch that
And
virus.
that's what our public health officials are essentially telling us here now that we're dealing with this COVID-19 pandemic is to socially distance and not go near other people. And these are all things that are, in your opinion, tried and true methods to at least significantly re reduce your risk in contracting anything.
Absolutely. You know, I go shopping here now when I need stuff. So I'll go into Dominion, walk in, I bring my own bag with me and put all the supplies that I buy in that bag. And then I go from place to place, get what I need, and then go to the checkout. You know, put the products on the belts, put them back in my own bag, and on the way out of the store, I go to the customer service center. They have hand sanitizer. Wash my hands, cleanse my hands, and then go out to the car and don't touch anything on the way out. And so I know that that's a safe method for me to get, you know, get in and out of that
And I
store.
think that's reassuring to hear that that's what you do, and that's what the World Health Organization is recommending. That's what our public health officials are recommending. And I know there are a lot of people like myself who, are a bit on edge right now going through this pandemic. I mean, we've never gone through anything like this, and I think in any of our lifetimes, the last time something similar like this happened was with the Spanish flu in 1918, from the research I've done. But I think that may help put a lot of people, at ease to some extent to know that this is the right advice that we all need to be following.
No, it really is, you know, and it only makes sense also. What I don't understand is, you know, people that are going to these gatherings, like what happened at Calls, it shouldn't have happened. To hear that people are going out to house parties, I mean, it's just common sense would tell you should not be doing that. And that I don't understand. Now, I hope that's stopped.
Yes, I
But
mean, I do too. And I think a lot of people may not quite understand. And again, I'm not a medical professional. I've just read a whole bunch on COVID-19, how infectious it is. Like the average person, if you become infected with this, can potentially give it to between two and three or more people. And let's say it's three, and you start doing three, exponentials of three, and you can go from three to 100 to 10,000,
Oh,
very,
yeah.
very
Yeah,
quickly.
very quickly.
So I think that's something people may not quite get as well as exponential growth and how terrifying that can be if we don't try and break this chain.
Well, I think one of the good things that came out of this event at Calls is that people saw, wow, I just went to that place, and so many people got infected in that place. So this is a dangerous disease. So maybe that opened a few people's eyes, but it also shows us how good the contact tracing is going. They found the contacts of the people who were there very quickly and got the contacts from them so they can actually stop that cluster.
And that's something that's key. And actually, I was watching an interview last night on CNN with Bill Gates, and he was saying how contact tracing is key. And what's boggling my mind is that in Canada, at least in Newfoundland and Labrador, we seem to be doing this. Public health is doing its job, as Dr. Fitzgerald has said. In the US, they're not doing any contact tracing, like at all.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But I know from all my years in the field with the WHO, every time there was something going on that they needed tested or they needed some kind of something worked out about what disease and which direction is going, the lab in Canada was always involved. As I said before, across the globe, they have a top reputation. And that's why I think the medical advice we're getting from our medical people here is good advice. I was talking to one of the doctors that I was actually at the SARS outbreak with just the other day. And he was telling me the same thing. He said, Canada's going to be in a good position for this because they attacked it from the beginning. And so they'll probably come out looking better than a lot of other countries.
I tend to agree, and I mean I'm an American, and right now I'm very happy to be living here in Newfoundland and Labrador. But it's to me it's amazing at how the two countries are differing in their approach. Like Canada has a singular message, most of the province have a singular message, and in the States it's almost like a it's very different in the way they're handling it. It seems like a lot less organization. And I'm very proud that I'm in this country right now, very happy, and I think we should all be. Very happy that our government officials are have our best interests at heart.
It's I was very surprised and happy to see that there are no foreigners coming into the country right now. Canadians are coming home, same with the Americans are allowed to go home, but no foreigners coming in. And other countries putting up major regulations to stop this. I've never seen that happen before. And I hope that that really, it should start to show in the next days, whether it's working or not. And I'm sure it is
That's
working.
definitely the hope. And I guess another, couple of questions for you before our time's up is, you've been to these outbreaks where they have SARS and MERS, which are another, respiratory syndrome. I don't know if they're as infectious as COVID-19 is and contagious. But where you've been and where you've covered these, have the, recommendations or the lockdowns from the government been similar to what they're doing here specifically, or more strict or less strict or
No, they were
Right.
less strict. When I went to the H1N1, which was the last pandemic we had in 2009, the streets of Mexico City were full of people. Some of them were wearing masks. Nobody was in a panic at all. We went to film. They have a very special cathedral there, and it was filled to the brim with people. And there was no lockdowns there at all. And with SARS, all the cities that I went to with SARS, there were lots of people out shopping. People were being careful. There were no big gatherings, of groups of people sitting around talking, laughing, or things like that. People were just going about their daily business. But a lockdown like I'm seeing here now, well, this is not even a lockdown, really.
It's
It didn't happen.
that's fascinating to me, just to know that
when we are comparing what we're doing here, what most of us should be doing, and what other places have done, we're doing a good job, it seems. And I think that's we all it's going to take all of us though to really quell this thing, I think. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. I don't understand the panic so much. I guess that's because I've been there, done that. I know that I follow the rules of hand washing, keeping my distance, doing, not doing what I'm not supposed to be doing in these wards, and I stayed safe through all these different things. And I know that if I do the same thing here now, I'll have a positive result. And I guess people, because they're used to seeing that over in the other side of the world on television, say, well, that's too bad. But now it's here and the regulations are in place and it's the first time they're going through it and they just don't know how to handle it.
No, and that's me to a T. Like I was, was initially when this started, coming out that this was going to be a big issue for North America, for Canada and the US, and now really the world. I was scared, and I still am to a point. But the more I start to understand how viruses spread, and the more I start to understand from speaking with you and reading articles about COVID-19 and listening to our public health officials, the less scared I am and the more precautious I'm trying to be. But life is just different now, and that's just how it's going to be for a while, I think.
At the beginning of this, a couple of weeks ago, when we were told to distance ourselves from people, at the beginning, you'd see somebody and they say, "Oh, Gary, how are you?" And come over in one town. I said, "I can't. I have to keep my distance." And they understood it right away. But last month or last year, I wouldn't have done that. But now I know that I have to do it to keep myself and maybe that other person
Right.
also
You don't
safe.
know who's walking around with this and who isn't. I mean, some studies suggest that, a lot of people get it in a mild form and may not even know that they've had it and it resolves.
The way I see it in my head when I'm out in the supermarkets, I see that every person that's there has the virus, and I'm staying away from them. That's how
And
I
I
look
think
at it.
that's a great way to put it. And I think that's a great lesson that I think all of us need to kind of adhere by until we get the all clear, which, who knows how long that's going to be.
I don't know. I don't know. I know I'm down here looking out my window at the ocean there now, and it's a lovely view, so I can stay here for months. I couldn't care less, but I don't think it's going to take that
Well, I
long.
hope your positive outlook is right. And Gary, I really appreciate your time today and chatting with me. And I hope that this, our conversation put me at ease, and I hope it puts anyone else who listens to it at ease.
Okay. Well, look,
No
thanks for
problem.
calling, Eddie.
Take care.
Okay. See you soon. Bye.